everybody. This is Brother John Rothacker. It's good to be with you once again on Truth for Today. Continuing in our series on the church, we're talking about the church meeting, how the church meets. And we've discussed in the previous half hour about meeting in the name of the Lord, looking to Him as our head, the place we met, according to the Old Scriptures, in the New Testament Scriptures, meeting in the home, the basic unit, and the upper room, and we went through various references to that. This is very important, let me say. For many years after I was ordained by the Spirit, laying on of hands of the presbytery and prophecy by the Lord Jesus, that's how He moves and or brings people into the ministry. It says in Ephesians 4 that after He ascended up on high, after the resurrection, He gave gifts to men, and He gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, that He starts opening up your understanding and your eyes of the Scripture and leading you. And He led me into many years of home ministry before He opened up ministry to a more public ministry. Although I did public speaking during that time, He would open up opportunities. Still, the main emphasis was functioning in the homes, establishing believers in the homes. And there are so many things to be gained by believers meeting together in homes. So many aspects of personal needs that you get, that are met, that come out, that are revealed in small meetings. The large meetings are excellent for teaching, for preaching, but there's no substitute if the body's going to build itself up and personal needs are met and we're going to get to love one another by knowing one another, that we need to meet together in more personal ways. And this is accomplished by believers getting together in their homes. Now, this needs to be not only for the purpose of gathering and having other believers together, like for a home church meeting, but we need to certainly also to emphasize the Bible teaches hospitality, the getting together in the homes just for fellowship, just to get to know one another. One of the qualifications of an elder is that they be hospitable. They need to be setting this example. And many things are accomplished when we get together on a just an informal basis of just a few people meeting in a home for fellowship, friendship, brotherly love. And then out of that can come a time of waiting on God and praying together, looking to the Lord. So there can be actually the purpose and the purposes of God worked out through coming together in homes in these two basic purposes, if you can understand. One, just for fellowship, getting to know one another, eating and sharing together over a meal or fellowship for an evening or whenever during the day, and then coming together in homes with other maybe believers or waiting on the Lord and looking to Him directly for ministry through the many members of the body. We need to see both of those purposes and those necessities of coming together as believers in the home. Now, one of the principles that is so beautifully laid down, we want to bring out now in 1 Corinthians 14 about coming together and meeting. When we look to the Lord and come together as a church, as a people, as a body, whether it's in a small group meeting in a home or a larger group in some other building, public or private or whatever, The Bible teaches us, as we've said, that we come together in the name of Christ, looking to Him as the head. And when that is truly a practical reality, then we have exciting times together, and the meeting is quite different than most meetings that most Christians are used to going to and considering church. Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 14 some beautiful rules for a proper scriptural gathering. You need to study those. In fact, you might want to look carefully at the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, but we want to dwell for a moment on this verse 26. He just got through talking about the importance of the gift of prophecy and what it can do when you're moving in the anointing of the Holy Spirit and bringing people to Christ. And I might add, other manifestations of the Holy Spirit are so important. I think now of being in China, the church in China, church in Nepal, where many believers are established in their faith in the Lord Jesus because of a home meeting where they came for the purpose of prayer to receive healing from God. In these countries, evangelism is going forth at a tremendous rate, and healing, bringing healing to the heathen, is probably one of the most important drawing methods that the Lord has of drawing people unto Himself, is that He's a God of love and health, and wants people whole and healed. And so people come to be healed. But let's look at this verse as other manifestations, as we meet together. How is Paul describing one of these church meetings when we gather scripturally? He says here, 1 Corinthians 14:26, "How is it then, brethren?" After talking about people being converted when the Spirit moves prophetically. "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." He adds then some more rules for proper order. But think about that for a moment. What is he saying here? He's saying, you see, that when you meet under the headship of Christ in His name, with His Spirit, looking to His anointing, you're expecting every member to function. Not one man, or group of men, or group of people, but he's talking about the function of the whole body, of which we're all a part, if we know the Lord. Let me read it again. "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm," hath a doctrine, that's a teaching. A psalm is a song. The word originally, in its original meaning, meant a song to musical instrumentation. But we've got a whole book of these, you see, called the Book of Psalms. And someone can be anointed to bring one forth, just read one, or maybe sing one, with or without an instrument, whatever. Hath a doctrine, hath a teaching. It's not talking about here coming from just one man, call him a pastor, elder, bishop, whatever, leader, but these are teachings that can come forth from anyone who's received one and is being anointed to give one by the Lord. Hath a tongue, that means a message in an unknown language. Of course, he's given other scriptures just before this about how to use this with interpretation and so forth. Hath a revelation. People receive revelations, all kinds, about situations, people, needs. Many things could be included in that. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, a revelation on somebody's need there. could be a revelation from the Word. Just many revelations. God is revealing Himself, you see, revealing people's needs. He's revealing His Word. Then Paul mentions, hath an interpretation. That would be the interpretation of a tongue. Let all things be done unto edifying. So we see here a description of meeting the way the Lord would have us to meet, as God being sovereign, Christ being the head. He has the authority, the right, the anointing, it's His body, to function through whoever He chooses. And that is not what we normally see, beloved, in the vast majority of meetings today. Now, we need to realize that. Most meetings are controlled by men, not by God. They're designed for the purposes of men, not by God, not for His purposes. When you meet in the name of the Lord, under His direction, His anointing, and so forth, under His rules, His Word, the Bible, it's completely different than most meetings today. Everyone in the body is accepted, and we have freedom for anyone that's in the body to function. This is important. If we're going to see maturity and true spirituality in the body of Christ, it's an absolute must. Let me add another scripture to this thought from 1 Peter chapter 4, when Peter is giving some of these insights also. He also talks about love, hospitality. And he says this then, right after some comments on that. Well, let me even read those first. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayers. And above all things have fervent charity, or love among yourselves, for charity covereth the multitude of sins. Now, we're not talking about gross sin there. We'll get into that maybe if we have a chance to talk about discipline. There's certain sins that need to be exposed and dealt with. But there's an awful lot of faults we have, beloved, an awful lot of wrongdoings that we are to just cover with the love of Jesus and pray about and not gossip and repeat. There are other sins that must be dealt with. We certainly must make that distinction. We'll talk about that later. Then he says, use hospitality one to another without grudging or murmuring. Maybe that's why we don't have as much hospitality as we should be having. People are not only murmuring, but they're grudging, they're holding back the blessings God has given them in their fine homes and so forth, and sharing it with the body of Christ. Maybe this is why we're not getting as much from God as we would like. Do you think? Let me just say the answer is yes. But then Peter says, as every man hath received the gift, the charisma, a gift of God's grace, salvation is a charisma, but many of the gifts of the Spirit and other things are called charismas. Charismata would be the plural in the Greek. It's a gift of grace. And it says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, Peter here is saying that as each one of us has received some gift of grace, we are stewards of that grace, that gift of grace, and we're to minister it to one another as a good steward. Then he talks about if God is anointing you to speak, you don't get up and say, I think so, I hope so, I wish so. But if you see, if you're speaking under the anointing of the Lord, if you're waiting on Him, then he talks about, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. It's a thus saith the Lord. We see that throughout the Scriptures. Men speaking a word from the Lord. The Lord spoke. We see that dozens and dozens of times in the Scripture. The word of the Lord is authoritative. Many descriptions are given in the Scripture. It's like a fire. It's like a hammer. It's like a sword. And if anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you're going to minister, do it with whatever ability he says that God has given, all for the purpose of glorifying God through Jesus Christ. So you see a little bit of the attitude and the aspects of meeting together, looking to the Lord, all under the headship of Christ, open to whoever God would choose to anoint. Now, of course, some people would immediately respond, well, what if somebody brings something false? What if somebody says something out of order? That's why they want to control. They don't want to limit meetings so that that doesn't happen. That's wrong. If there are members of the body that are unhealthy, then they need healing. If somebody has some belief that's incorrect, they need correction. This is why we have so many different doctrines, so many different Christians meeting and establishing themselves in their errors and falsity, because we're not letting people express themselves and be corrected. And pastors aren't meeting together, leaders aren't meeting together. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that God has given are not always meeting together so that they come into a correct understanding, so that they can teach the people correctly. It's only as we meet together that the edges are worn off of our sharpness of these living stones, and we become polished and smooth and fit properly for the body of Christ as we are built up into that holy temple. We must allow sickness to be expressed if we are going to bring healing to it. Whatever type it is, whether it's not just physical sickness, but maybe doctrinal, moral, whatever. And then we minister to that need. And as Paul exhorted Timothy, when there's preaching, it says, needs to be with correction and reproof, instruction and righteousness. If people really have their hearts set on being like the Lord, and hearts set on being filled with the Spirit of truth, they want truth. And they want to be corrected. Correction is merely meaning you're putting someone in the correct understanding, the correct path. Let me ask you, do you want to be corrected if you're wrong? You should. We all should. We need to. We're going to grow up and mature in the Lord. So we see then these functioning of the many members of the body. Let me encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, especially on that. Again, maybe chapter 11, Ephesians 4. Let's go along to something else. Another purpose for meeting together, very, very important, is prayer. Jesus said, a couple places, you'll find it, for instance, in Mark 11, verse 17 and 18, he says, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But of course, he says to those there in that time, you've made it a den of thieves. And so it is, unfortunately, today, many times, people are meeting together, and the leadership has made it nothing but a den of thieves. They're stealing. They're using all kinds of gimmicks and methods to get the money from God's people. But it shouldn't be so. But we're emphasizing here prayer. Prayer is a most important reason for coming together. And look at most church meetings today. Maybe a perfunctory, formal prayer at the beginning. Maybe one at the end, and that's about all the praying that many meetings have. Some will have a little bit more opportunity for prayer, personal ministry after the meeting's over. But you see, we ought to have meetings especially for prayer. We brought out in Acts 12 the prayer meeting when it says Peter was in prison, James had been killed. It says the church, singular, the one church in Jerusalem, Acts 11 and 12, was not ceasing to pray for Peter. Where were they praying? They were praying in homes. They were having meetings just for prayer. We used to have taught in this country a midweek prayer service. They've changed that to a midweek service. It became less and less prayer and more teaching, to the point now where sometimes there's very little praying. This is wrong. We need to meet together just to pray. But you see, we're too selfish. We don't want to meet together to minister to the Lord and to pray for the needs of others. We want to come to be fed. We're like little hungry babes, but we need to grow up. We need to meet together for prayer. And Jesus said that in all the nations of the world, His house, that's His church, His people, ought to be known as the people of prayer. He says, my house, when you gather together, you see, my house shall be known as a house of prayer. Oh, how we need to get back to praying. Paul wrote Timothy in this first letter, different aspects about the church. And he said, the first thing you do when you come together is pray. And he says, even pray for the president. In this case, he says kings, those in authority. He talks about them for all men. See, too many times when we get together, we're not praying for our leaders, both the leaders of the nation and the leaders of the body of Christ. We need to pray. We need more prayer meetings if we're going to mature and see God's purposes accomplished. We're not going to be able to go into all the other things maybe in this half hour, but in a few minutes remaining, let me add some more aspects of meeting together. Psalm 100 talks about entering into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. We need to come together, and one of the first things is as we realize the Lord is gathering us to look to Him, is to start to praise Him and thank Him. And we need to meet together. And this is why you usually have singing and praise and worship at the beginning. And this is important. It's scriptural. And we need freedom, though, in that. We need to allow the Lord to anoint whoever to bring forth songs and so forth. There's a couple scriptures that would refer to that. One here in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Then another word here similar to it in Ephesians. Chapter 5. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Command, passive, it's God that fills us. We submit ourselves. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about bringing forth out of our midst psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Three distinct types of singing and worship. Psalms, again, little choruses, you might say, that come forth by the Spirit. We have a whole book of them. Also hymns. These are maybe different types. We have the hymns of the church. Wonderful doctrine. Wonderful singing. We need them both. And spiritual songs. Things that come forth spontaneously by the Spirit. People are given songs right in the service by the Holy Spirit. They may sing in with the Spirit, sing in tongues, and then come forth singing in interpretation. We need all this. Too many times, certain meetings only dwell on one type. Some church meetings only have hymns, some only have choruses. We need them both. We need the spiritual songs as the Spirit brings forth different aspects. And we need these things led by the Holy Spirit, and our leadership needs to give that freedom and encouragement. It takes not only freedom, but encouragement by the leadership to see these things come forth. This is very important. Another aspect, of course, of these meetings, who rules? Well, the elders. You only find the scriptures, the elders rule. And then when we meet together, whether it's in a home or a larger place, there may be one elder of the Lord present. There may be two, three, or more. Whatever God is ordained, whoever he's brought, it's the elders that rule. And we talked about that earlier in one of the aspects about who they are and how they function. Something else we need to see is that Paul wrote Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13 that he's to give himself to the reading of the scriptures, exhortation and teaching. A lot of times a person should be led just to read scripture. We'd have a lot better sound doctrine if we read more of that than some of the things that are being read in meetings or some of the things that are being taught and what goes on. There needs to be more reading, public reading of the scriptures. We talked about the women's ministry, and again, let me encourage you to get my book, The Public Ministry of Women, available either in the Christian bookstores or writing to myself. They're $2.95, or as God enables you. Let me say these tapes of these messages are $3.50 each, either by sending to the home station or myself. For those listening on other stations or receiving this by tape, the book is $2.95. If you cannot afford it, you write and tell me why, what the situation is, and God will enable and God will provide, we trust. Some send more, some less, but that's the price if you were purchasing it. The gifts, all the manifestations, of course, as we meet together, need to be in order. Paul summed that up in 1 Corinthians 14, the last verse, let everything be done decently and in order. We need to realize that there needs to be discipline. And I'd encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 5 and Matthew 18, verse 15 and following, 1 Timothy 5, verse 19 and 20, about some aspects of discipline. Also, children. They need to be much more a part of our meetings than they are in many. And there's really no reason to take a lot of them out that are being taken out. They need to learn to function in worship and praise. And the teaching could be understood by most of them. And we need to encourage them to be participants and be more a part of our meetings than sometimes they often are. Well, that's all the time for now. I hope that some of these aspects are helpful in giving you an understanding as we meet as the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to write, our address is John Rothacker Ministries, spelled Rothacker, Box 3219, Columbus, Ohio, 43210. So until we meet again, have a good day in the Lord Jesus.